Just to quickly go over on Tofrish Ayin Gimel, we start at the beginning of Tofrish Ayin Gimel. Kol hashmonim v'apsilis k'shem l'nei chanukah. All types of oils and wicks are kosher for nei chanukah. And as we said yesterday, because on Shabbos it isn't that way. On Shabbos you have to make sure it's a good wick, it's good oil, it burns well, because we're scared you're going to fiddle with it. On Shabbos you're not allowed to fiddle with your nei chanukah. We're off to Tofrish Ayin Gimel. But on in the Chanukah, yeah, anyway, you're not going to touch your Ner Chanukah because you're not allowed to be mishtamish le'ira, you're not allowed to use your Ner Chanukah, you're not allowed to have a nor from it. Mimela, we're not worried that if it doesn't burn well, you're going to start messing around with it. Va'afal pi she'ein hashmonim shochim achab sila ve'ein ho'o nisle yofer ba'usim absilus. Even if the shemen is not doesn't draw well and the wicks don't burn well, it's fine. Well, Miu says the Ramah, shemen zayis mitzvah min hamuvcha. In Shemen Zayis Matsui, best in Shemen Zayis olive oil, but if there isn't any olive oil, mitzvah, bishmonim, sh'uyon, zach, v'noki, you can use any oil which burns clear and clean. V'nergim, v'dinis, elu, lehadik, v'nerish, shel shavo, to use wax. The minig is to use wax candles, ki'uyon, sol, kumay, shemen, because it burns clear like oil. Now, just to bring out a thing, that the idea of using Shemen Zayis, which the Ramah says is a mitzvah min hamuvcha, so the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot and Dalet says, Umikol mokoyim mitzvah b'shal shemen, tfei minei reshal shava. Although the Ramah says the minig was to use candles, but the real mitzvah is to use shal shemen, Shemen Zayis, olive oil. Why? The alidei hashemen nasa hanis. The nase was through the shemen. And because of this Mishnah Berurah, there's popped up a load of chumras which people have tried to be machmir. Just to tell you one of them, which famously in Eretz Yisrael, there is two types of olive oil. I don't know if in England it's actually, because I don't know much about the olive oil in England, but in Eretz Yisrael there was two types. There was one which is edible and one which is only for lighting. The process of bringing out the olive oil from the olive is different. And the one for eating, obviously, is much more expensive. It's done in a different way. It's less acidy or something. And it's just done in a different way. Now, the halacha is that the shemen that you use in the Beis HaMikdash has to be edible. It's a Gemara and a Menachas. Therefore, based on this Mishnah Berurah, the Mishnah Berurah says, we have to have it in the same way that was in the Beis HaMikdash. The Yashav used to say the Chumrah, that we should have, that our olive oil should be edible, which makes it, in Eretz Yisrael, it was double the price. I don't know what's in England. In Eretz Yisrael, you know, they sell it every street corner, so you just watch, you see it. In here, you have to go to Tesco, I don't know, wherever you buy your olive oil, I don't know. But in Eretz Yisrael, double the price, it's much more expensive, it's a much more complicated procedure to bring out the olive oil. But the idea being, based on this, as much as you're supposed to use olive oil, why? Because olive oil, the nace was in olive oil, so too, you have to use oil which is made in a way that you can eat it, because that's how it was in the Beis HaMikdash.
What's the
mile?
I mean, what,
so the halacha is on... What, sorry?
I mean, you're saying that... You can eat it, so what?
No, because it has to be as close as possible to the olive oil in the Beis HaMikdash. It has to be as close as possible to that, to the original ness.
But I'm saying even the Beis HaMikdash, why?
Oh, that was halacha over there, that it has to be, it has to be able to eat it. That was it's a Gemara Menachos, that's how it was in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. That's how it was. So
for the menorah as well?
For the menorah, yes, not exactly. Yeah. So because that's how it was over there, we are trying to copy that. And in fact, there's more chumras. Let's say some people, many of us probably, and when I say this is chumras, it's not that the halacha, is that, you know, if you, like we spoke about yesterday, you can actually blow out your candles. Right? We saw yesterday we can blow out your candles. But if you do, sometimes the olive oil is dirty. Right? The wick has dropped some ash into the olive oil and made the olive oil dirty. Now, in the Beis HaMikdash, they used to use fresh oil every day. So maybe you should pour out yesterday's oil and start again. Because I say after that, we want to do it as much as possible, similar to what they did in the Beis HaMikdash. Again, this is chumras, that you decide you want to, how much olive oil is there, and you want to waste it based on the chumras. But this is the idea based on this Mishnah Berurah, that it should be similar as possible to the Nes Chanukah. There's another halacha, not so relevant nowadays, but what happens if you find a mouse inside your olive oil tank? You know, in the halacha it comes up quite often, they found mice inside. The whole Gemara about finding mice inside your food. A mouse is also to eat, so if you put it inside your food, it might make your food also. There's all similar Shulchan Aruch about it. But why would you find a mouse inside the tank of olive oil? So the halacha is in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses that you're not allowed to use that olive oil. Why? Because it's Hakriveu Nor Lefchoscha. The Pasuk says that when you bring something to the Bnei Shalom, you bring it in a beautiful way. But it brings something nice. Olive oil, which has had a mouse inside, is not considered Bekovedik. And therefore, there's a Chumrah not to use such olive oil. Based on that chumrah, there's other more halachas which you brought up yesterday. What happens if your olive oil has been under your bed? You know, we famously know food that's under your bed and you sleep on it, you can't eat it. If you can't eat it, why? Because there's a ruach ra on it. A ruach ra gets placed on it. Based on the idea that you only use something which is bekovedik, it had a mouse inside, also not if it's been under your bed, it might have a ruach ra. Okay, you don't always have a ruach ra. You have to know the halachas of ruach ra, not even if it's a sealed container, some holders. Not a ruach ra. But the idea being, we want it to be bekovedik, not dirty olive oil, not olive oil which a mouse has been inside, not olive oil which has been under your bed. Ideally, akvonim. Just go back one sieve cotton, two sieve cotton, sieve cotton base. There's an interesting halacha. Can you use what they, in those days it did a lot of burning chela, fats. They used fats for candles, right? The candles were made out of various fats. And in fact, in Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya, it talks a lot about using a candle which is made out of a fat. If it's made out of chela, which is osa, you have to be careful the candle's nowhere near your food. Because if the candle's made out of an osa fat, the fat which is osa, it could touch and it could drip into your food. Now, what happens if your candle's made out of milchik and fleshik, bosa becholof? Can you light this candle? Because it's a mixture of fats, which are fleshik, and some milk fell inside, or you might have used cheese fats as well into the candle in order to burn. Right? They have different systems of using the products. So are you allowed to do it? So Mishabur says you're not allowed to do it. But interesting 2 points why you're not allowed to. One, the first point is that fascinating, is because when you're lighting it, you're being cooking bosa b'chalof. You're cooking bosa b'chalof. You're lighting. How does lighting work? How does the fire work? The olive oil, or not olive oil, in this case, the fats of milchik and fleshik go up the wick and they get burnt at the top of the wick, which means they get cooked at the top of the wick. That is bishul bosa b'chalof. That is one pshat. But there are those who argue there's no such thing as bishul bosa b'chalof when it burns away. It's not cooking, because there's no moment of, oh, I've got cooked bosa b'chalof. It evaporates. That is how it burns, right? It burns itself up and it goes. So there's no real bosa b'chalof, bishul bosa b'chalof. Right? So that is an interesting debate. And there's another halach in the Mishnah Berurah there in the middle of the Sukkot base, and he says that although you're allowed to use all different types of oils and candles, you could do whatever you want, but all your candles should be the same way. I mean, you can't have, on the seventh night, one is wax, one is fats, one is oil. You've got to have them all synchronized to be used from the same product. That's what he says in Sukkot base. Now, that way, it looks like one menorah. Otherwise, if you've got to have one in candles and the rest in olive oil, it might seem to be not the same person lighting it, because it's different, being used in a different system.
If you're not eating near your candles.
Right. Yeah, but you don't have to cook bosa b'chalof. You don't want bosa b'chalof. No, sorry, what are you saying?
You see, now candles are made of, I don't know, pig's fat.
No, so pig's not osa b'hanah. And there's no issa to cook it, you just can't eat it. So that's fine. But here we talk about bosa b'chalof, which has an issa hanah and an issa to cook. And here, by lighting it, it says element of cooking it, because you're burning it up. And that's the debate. Is burning it cooking, or is burning just burning and not cooking?
Because of hanah,
there's no oh. The shaila is it an issa of hanah? Mitzvah. We know famously that mitzvah, mitzvah is not considered a benefit. You're not doing a benefit. As Rashi says in Rosh Hashanah, you do a mitzvah kedei lavu desboyu. You do a mitzvah to do the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're not benefiting from it, and therefore there might not be an issue of mitzvahs lav lehonis. That is a debate as well, for different. No, I'll tell you where the debate comes up. It comes up in Shabbos, because can you use on Lil Shabbos a candle made out of bosa b'cholof? Because there the mitzvah is to have anor, so it's a bit different. Okay, it's going to be a bit. And just look at the Mishnah Berurah of Kotan Gimel, also an important one, and that, he says like this. That means we've said, going back to the original Mechaba, the Mechaba says that you're allowed to use any type of oil and any type of wick, because we're not worried that you're going to fiddle with the oil and the wick, because anyway, we can't use it. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot and Gimel, Avaloy lehashamash. The shamash has to be made from a good oil and a good wick. And he explains, on Shabbos, Lil Shabbos, the shamash has to be made from a good oil and good wick. Why? Because the shamash is the one you use. And if it's not good oil or it's not good wick and it starts flickering, you might bend the wick. Because after all, you want to use the shamash. And therefore the shamash has to be made from this oil and wicks, which there's no possibility of what we call in Hilchos Shabbos of Shema Yateh. You might touch and bend the wick for it to burn well, because the shamish is a usable one. Okay, let's carry on. Says the Mechaber, "V'afilu b'leil Shabbos shebesoichim mei Chanukah, even on Shabbos Chanukah, mutar lehadlik b'nei Chanukah shmona v'apsilus she'osu lehadlik b'hem nei Shabbos." You can use any type of oil, any type of wick. V'agor, im einoi noisin b'neir rak kedei she mitzvosei. Says the Ramah, that's only true if you have exact the shear of the mitzvah. Because if it's, you have more oil than the mitzvah, then although while the first half an hour you're not going to touch the candle, after half an hour you might come to touch the candle, and therefore you might come to bend it on Shabbos. Says the Mechaber, the feet. Why don't we care which oil and which wicks do we use? As I said before, she'osa leishtamish b'neir Chanukah, bein b'Shabbos, bein b'chol. You're not allowed to use the Neir Chanukah, not on Shabbos and not during the week. V'afilu livdik mois, even to check money. That means, we mean a very sort of araydika tashmish. I mean, you're hardly using it. You know, you read a book in front of it, maybe a bit more kviyastik. You're just flipping through a bit of money, just to check money. Then even that's osa. Oilim noison, to count them, the oira, osa. Afilu tashmish al kedusha. Even tashmish al kedusha is osa. Now, you would have said, what's the problem with Tashmish and Kedusha? To learn in front of it, we just all said, Mitzvah Slav Lahon is Nitnu. I'm not called benefit, I'm learning, I'm doing a mitzvah. But the answer is, it's Mevazah the Neir Chanukah when you do a Tashmish, even a Tashmish Kedusha in front of it.
Why, if you're
Yotzi
and you've just basically litten it, why do you have to...
Because the first half an hour, it's Muktzah the Mitzvah, sorry, it's designated for its mitzvah. Designated totally for, but you've got to use it. If you're going to say that after 1 minute of lighting it, you're going to use it, then basically the understanding is when you lit it, you sort of lit it also for yourself and also for the mitzvah. We need it that you light it totally dedicated for the mitzvah. The mitzvah we saw yesterday was half an hour, so that has to be dedicated for that half an hour. After the half an hour, you finish the mitzvah, now you can do what you want with it. Actually, yesterday we saw we should be machmir about it until you blow it out as Ma'as Ayin, yes. So actually, when I say you can do what you want with it, I didn't even do what you want with it, but actually, even after half an hour, you shouldn't use it. You should rather blow it out. Because if it's a Maris Aaron, people see you using it, they'll say, why are you using it in a Chanukah? They won't know that the half an hour is finished.
We can't say we're getting benefit just from the Shamash?
Oh, so we'll see that in a moment. Shal Kedusha, some hold you can use Tashmish Kedusha, says the Mechaber. V'noyagim lehadlik neir noisof. With a minig is to light another neir, kadesh imishtamish le'oira, because if you're going to use the light, yeah, le'oir hanoisaf, you're going to use the extra light. I mean, the minig wall says the Mechaber, to light an extra light. So you night one, you light two. One for the extra, and one, you're calling the shamish, but we'll see that. It's not mamish the shamish. Shu'oisa shu'hudlik achwin. Ve'anichenu me'yrochik tzas misha'ar neiris mitzvah. And you should place it a bit further away from the neiris mitzvah, says the Mishnah Berurah, we hear v'anichene mochik. It says we're in Sivkotan Tazayin. Why you have to place it a bit further away? Kedei sheyia heka kama neiris madikin. Because if you think about it, if you light a shamash every night, you're always lighting an extra one, and therefore night one is really night two, and night two is really night three, because you always got an extra one. But by putting it a bit further away, then it won't be counted with them, and therefore people will be aware it's the first night. We just look for a moment on the Mishnah Berurah Sifkot and Tesvov. This is another debate. That means when you have a shamash, we're saying it's not a problem to use the oil. Why? Because you're not using the oil, you're using the shamash. But what does it mean then? Can you actually now go in front of the whole Chanukah menorah and use the whole Chanukah menorah just based on the shamash? Says the Mishnah Berurah Sifkot and Tesvov, the Ein Mogen Avraham. Even if you've got a shamash, it doesn't mean now, once you've got a shamash, you've got like a freebie, now you can use all the neiros just because you've got one shamash. Now, katchila, you should make sure only to use the shamash. That means you stand next to the shamash. As we said before, you put the shamash a bit further away. So you stand next to that one, you count your money next to it, or you learn next to it. But you don't actually use them all. Why? Because once you start standing in front of your menorah using the candles, everybody will think, this is not a menorah. You're just using your candle, the candles for your own tashmish. And therefore, you should only use the shamash, not everyone. The usage of it nowadays is a bit less relevant because we have candles, and we have the the lights. I saw actually, interestingly, what happens if people turn off the lights and they sit in front of it? So there's a sort of like glow. Is that called a shtamshus? You know, also make the children won't be so scared because there's candles. Is that called a shtamshus? And I saw that the chronim say that's not called a shtamshus. Shtamshus means a positive use, counting money, learning. But just turning off the lights and sitting there in that sort of festive feel or whatever you're going to feel around the candles, that's not called a shtamshus. Okay.
Even though you're doing other things.
Oh, if you start doing other things. No, so if you start eating in front of it. No, no, you're right. If you start eating or reading, then you've got a problem, then you're not allowed to. No, and I'm talking about. No, once you start doing a malacha, then you're doing a malacha. You're using the oil. And you have the issue that you've got the shamash. But you shouldn't, like we just saw in the Magen Avraham. But no, I'm talking about you're just sitting there in front of the candle. Some people like to turn it off, some of the candles, whatever it is. You're allowed to do that. That's not considered usage just to sit in front of the candles. Yeah, because that's really, it should be, but take a picture of something. Yeah, it's not Hanoi. I'm saying it's no different than looking at it yourself. When you look at it, even though the light's off, you look at it.
Well, someone is on my street here. You'll see my house, you'll know my house, you'll see eight lights.
Yeah, it's when you mutter. I tell you, there is a whole halacha, let's say, about church. Right, that would be the proof that you're allowed to. A church, he's asking, that can you identify your house and say the one with the candles in? Or is that called Hanar? I'll bring you a raya. This is the raya. That when a person, halach is in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to say that I'll meet you on the street corner next to the church. Why? Because you're giving chashivas to the church as using it as a designated spot. Right? You say you turn left at the church. You're not supposed to say that. Because you're giving chashivas to it. You're using it as a landmark. You're not allowed to use the church as a landmark. Now, you're not allowed to have a hanor from the church. And yet nobody says the reason that you can't use the church as a landmark is because of the hanor. They say it's because of the chashivas you give it. So you see that using something as a landmark is not called hanor. Right, that would be a nice proof to your shayla. Says the Ramah, uvimedinois elu inu agin hoisif. In our places, we don't put an extra light. Rak, not only. What do? Maniach etzlon hashamash sheboy madlik haneris. We place. Well, everybody uses a spare candle to light all the menorah, and after they've used it, you put it next to the menorah, and that will be its extra one, but not actually light like a tchila extra one. And there are some menorah like that. I mean, some people prepare in these bar menorahs that say. Night three, they'll prepare three over here and one over there, and they'll take a candle shamash, light the three. After they've lit in the three, they'll go light the shamash and they'll blow out the candle. That's one way of doing it. The other way of doing it is not preparing a shamash at all. Only preparing your three for that night, and then using the candle that you've used to light the three and sticking it in on the side and using that as the shamash. And the Rama says, "V'hu odif tfei," it's better to do it that way. Better than lighting three and then a fourth one on the side. Oh no, as a shamash, it's better to actually use the candlestick that you use to light them all in the first place. Use it as a shamash. And the Mishnah Berurah says, if you look at Mishnah Berurah Sifkot and Yud Tes, the bazeh muchach behedya levnei habayis she'inu miminyan haneiros. By that way, it's clear that the shamash is not part of the menorah. Nowadays, it looks very confusing for a young child. Let's say when he sees you lighting, it's a third night. He sees you lighting one, two, three, and he sees you lighting one at the end. He thinks, oh, is it three or is it four? What's going on? But if you don't light the one at the end, you take the very candle that you used to light those three and you put it on the side, then it's quite clear to B'nai Abayis that it's the third night. So you see, we've seen a few times already that it's important to know which night it is. It's right, it's important. And that's because, obviously, the net increased every night. So we want to show it's night three, it's night four, it's night five, it's increased.
Is that pretty similar in either
Shamash or one Shamash? So that's, he says that it's Sifkot in Yudches, does every menorah need, says Hashamash Shabbai. But Philu Rabbi Mamadlikin, he says, Kimish Kon Echad Maniach Neirus, but Mokom Yuchad, Torich Naniach Shamash Eit Kon Echad Vechad. That means the Mishabur says like this. If you remember in Tofresh Ein Aleph, Mamish at the beginning of the Chanukah, that they struggle a very lot. How do we see which night it is? After all, if you've got five people in your household and they're all lighting menorah, so they've all got lit on the first night, they've written one each, that's five. Does it look like night five or does it look like night one? So the Mishnah Berurah says, in order to make a distinction, to realize it's night one, every single person should light his menorah in an individual spot. Different corners of the room, different corners on the windowsill, whatever it is, but to separate them one from each other. Therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah over here, in Sifkot and Yud Ches, Therefore, says Mishabur over here, in Sivkot and Yud Ches, that you should remain and make a shamash for each manoah. Because since each manoah is in a different spot, you could possibly have a nor from each manoah in a different angle. And therefore, if you have a shamash by each manoah, you'll save yourself from that issa. Says the Mishmurumar writer, V'yesh la'asoso yosei oruch mishan me'iris. You should make it large and taller than all the other ones. The Mishmur says it doesn't necessarily need to be taller. You could put it on a high spot, and therefore it may it looks taller, right? Shibarish tamish tamish oisei ne'er, because anything which is taller, you'll get there straight. Says Rumar, im nis'ariv ne'er chanaka ha'osa b'hanar b'sh'an ne'eris. Again, we didn't have candles in those days, so they used to make their own candles. Why have you have a candle made from osa b'hanar? Candle which is made from a cooking of basa b'cholof, or from kelayim, or from something like that. Now, one of those candles got mixed into a box of candles which are mutar b'hanar. Now, and you don't know which one's the osa one. Says the Ramah, afilu echad be'elef loy bottle. It doesn't become bottle. Right, why? Although in Hilchas Bittel, whenever one thing falls into a mixture, it becomes bottle echad betray. You need one, because bottle in two, right? When it's items on a chicken bone, which is not a choshev chicken bone, gets mixed up with other chicken bones, one of them is trefus, as long as you've got two against the one, it's bottle, it's mutter. That's the halacha in Shulchan Aruch Simen Kuf Yud in Yeridea. Now, the halacha is that it doesn't become bottle. It means you have one candle which is osa. Mixed into many candles which are muta, it's still osa. Why? Because it's called a dova sheva minyan. There's a concept in Yeridea that something which is counted, something which is choshev, doesn't become bottle. And Neiros Chanukah is a dova sheva minyan. We count them. Night one, night two, night three. We count our candles. And if we give chashivas to the Neir Chanukah, and if one of those Neiros fall into a box of Neiros which are mutter, it does not become bottle. And the Mishnah Berurah explains, I won't go into the Mishnah Berurah, because not such a relevant halacha, but the Mishnah Berurah explains this is only on Chanukah. If in Shabbat your candle, wasa candle, falls into your box of Shabbos candles, and you mix in, it'll become bottle, because it's not choshev candle. Candle's not choshev a thing, it's nothing, it costs a few p for each one. But in Chanukah, every candle becomes choshev, just in those 8 days. Why? Because it's on Chanukah we count each candle and we give chashivas to each one. Therefore, says the Mermar, afilu echad be'elef le'bottle, to have a dover shel minyan. Says the Mishnah of Mermar, what should you do? Eli yadlik minat ha'uv is kol kach shebevadei neshel het ha'doidei kemneshel isa v'os mutar yishtamash etzel. That means, if one fell into two, you light all three. And when you light all three, you know two of them are definitely mutar. One's also, you don't know which one. And it doesn't matter, because you'll just use the two and you'll discount the one. You just won't know which one's the two and which one's the one, because you don't know which one's the mutter and which one's the asa. But you like all three and you know two out of the three are mutter. Okay. Sif base. Hadlocha is a mitzvah. This is what somebody was quoting before. The halacha is the hadlocha does the mitzvah. When somebody lights his menorah, he's done his mitzvah. It doesn't have to worry anymore. Lefichoch im kovsa koida mesha'ovaz mana. If it went out before the time was up, eino izokoklo. Don't forget about it. Don't worry about it. The afilu kofso be'erev Shabbos. What happens if it went out erev Shabbos? Erev Shabbos, we all know, we light very early, right? This next week we'll be lighting about 3:30 in erev Shabbos. And that 3:30 is not the time for lighting. Only once. So how you yotzer? You'll see that you yotzer because 3:30 it lights till 5. So by the time it comes to the zman hadlocha, it's still a light. So you yotzer the mitzvah. So some of you light to 3:30. Has he been yotzer the mitzvah? Says mechaber, yes, because you've done your lighting. Your achrayus, your responsibility is to light. Once you've lit, you're fine. You yotzer. If after you light it, you wanted to make it straight or something, and it went out by mistake, you've lit on, you've done responsibility, you've done your mitzvah, you're fine. Hagar, says the Ramah, if he wants to be machme, and to light it again after it's gone out, you don't make a new bracha. That means the Rama is saying, if you want, you can light it again, but you don't have to. But the Mishnah Berurah says that in Mishnah Berurah Sivkot and Chav Zayin, the roi lehach melach zeladika b'chol inyan. A person should light it. If one goes out, one should light it again. Although you don't have to, you should light it again. And the Machtzis Hashekel explains, because it's a hiddo to have the lights going. Even though you've done your mitzvah, you can just pat yourself on the back, you've done your mitzvah, your lights are all off. So one should, but a chumra to light it again. Now, the Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot and Chof Hei says, what does it mean? Then if I've lit in it, I've done my mitzvah. Says the Mishnah Berurah, wrote to Leima, hadlaka is a mitzvah, kiven shehidlik, takef kiyem ha-mitzvah. Once you've lit in it, you've straight away yotzer mitzvah. The fichach, says the Mishnah Berurah, im kovsa, if it goes out, ein zokiklo. says the Mishnah Berurah. But what happens? What happened to the guy in the question that saw with the light outside? So he's lighting outside, and he saw he could buy these boxes. But he doesn't want to buy a box. It's too expensive. He doesn't want to buy a box. So he lights it. And a few moments later, the wind comes and blows out. So can he say, no, I've done my mitzvah. I lit, and the wind blew out. Says the Mishnah Berurah, that's not called lit. Then, so you can't consider yourself having lit in the menorah if you're lighting in a place where you know very well it's going to blow out. When we say over here that once you've lit in it, you've done your mitzvah and you don't have to worry about it, that's only true when if you light it in a place where it's possible to last. But if you light it in a place where it might very well go out, then it's a mitzvah. And he carries on the last line over here, he's lighting it. And he can see it's flickering, it's not lighting properly. And it's going to go out any moment, it's the same problem. You have to light it. That means when we say once you've lit in it, you've been yotzer the mitzvah, it's only if you light it in a way where it's really lit. If you light it in a way that A, the wind might blow out any moment, or B, that it's still flickering and it's not really got going, then that's not considered that you've lit in it, and you have to light it again because you haven't done your mitzvah yet. But if you've lit in it, and you did a good job, and there was no reason for it to go out, and it happened to go out because maybe your child blew it out, or you by mistake knocked it, or something happened to it, and it went out, then hadlaka is a mitzvah, you've been yotze your mitzvah, you do not have to relight it, says the Mishabur, but the Katchila want Ushabur lahachme to relight it. But you don't make it, then you've been yotze already.